Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Billboard's Senior Director of Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Hello, Katie. Are you ready for the big game on Sunday?
You know, I am. It's right here in Los Angeles this year. Like, it's in our backyard.
Are you going to the game? Are you going to the Super Bowl?
Absolutely not. I will be on a laptop covering it like I do every single year, unless some last-minute invite comes my way.
Do we have anyone? We must have someone from Billboard
going,
right?
We do. I don't know if I, like,
should
blow
up
her spot, but yeah, we do have someone inside. We will have an article from inside.
Amazing.
Inside perspective. So yeah, stay tuned for that.
Wow. Is this person embedded with the halftime show?
No.
Shoot.
Sorry, don't get excited. This person is literally just the luckiest person in the world and gets to sit in a seat at the Super Bowl.
That's pretty freaking amazing. So
yes, yeah. I agree.
Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and sometimes football on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, the Encanto soundtrack continues to rule both the Billboard 200 Albums chart and the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart. Meanwhile, Britney Spears, the princess of pop, returns to the pop airplay chart for the first time since 2017, thanks to a surprising mashup of one of her classic hits with another older chart hit that's not by Britney. Don't worry, we'll explain all of this in just a second.
I, too, am intrigued. Also on the show, the Super Bowl halftime show is this Sunday, headlined by Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar. So which songs might we hear from this all-star lineup? What surprises might be in store? And could a holographic Tupac materialize at the show? Who knows? We'll debate all this and more in just a moment. Plus, we'll review the just-announced Academy Awards nominations for Best Original Song and Score. We went into depth last week about it, and now we'll talk about who of those shortlisted talents have nominations.
Did any of our predictions come true?
We'll see. Yeah. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Alrighty, let's do the chart chat. First up, Disney's Encanto continues to enchant the charts as the soundtrack spends a fourth non-consecutive week at number one on the Billboard 200 chart, while its hit single, We Don't Talk About Bruno, continues to hold atop the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart for a second week. If Encanto spends a fifth week at number one, it will have the most weeks atop the list all by itself for any soundtrack since Disney's own Frozen ruled for 13 weeks in 2014. Right now, Encanto has 4 weeks, which is also the same number of weeks as Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's A Star is Born. So that was the last album with as many as four. Before that, if we get to five, then it's, you know, Disney meets Disney on the charts.
Yeah.
And we'll see how this week shakes out. I don't have any magical forecasts at this point. Just tune in to my chart update on Sunday on Billboard.com.
Or this very podcast next week.
Yeah, if you just listen to the podcast, just stick with the podcast.
We'll let you know it all next week.
Elsewhere on the charts, Britney Spears makes a surprising return to the pop airplay chart with Toxic Pony, a track that mashes up her 2004 number one pop airplay hit Toxic with Genuine's 1996 number one hot R&B hip-hop songs hit Pony. The new mashup debuts at number 40 and is credited to the twin DJs Altego and Britney Spears and Genuine. And it originates, of course, from a track that went viral on TikTok, as
Should've known.
The tune was released via Spears' record label, RCA Records, so it's a proper official release now. And with Toxic Pony's debut on Pop Airplay, it's Spears' first entry on the list since Slumber Party with Tinashe, featuring Tinashe. I believe it's featuring Tinashe. I'll check on that in a second. Debuted in December of 2016, later peaking at number 27 in January of 2017. In total, Toxic Pony is Britney's 36th hit on the pop airplay chart. As for Genuine, this is his fifth entry on the list and first since 2003's Hell Yeah, featuring Baby, reached number 12. And this is the first entry for the DJ, twin DJs, Altego.
I love the idea of mashing these two songs up because those are two of the most like iconic productions in pop in the last, you know, 30 years. Like, why? It's a hit. You put those two together, that's a hit.
Yeah, I was going to add it in here, but then I didn't. But I'm kind of curious. Pony later was resuscitated thanks to, of course,
Magic Mike,
iconic Magic Mike film. Which I think there's probably a lot more younger people today that know Pony because of Magic Mike. Mm. Katie, complete aside, since mm-hmm. you have seen Magic Mike mm-hmm. live, mm-hmm. did they do Pony at live at the show?
I'm pretty sure they did, but I wouldn't like stake my life on it. It just feels like, of course they must have, right? But it's, you know, we're talking about 4.5 years ago now that I saw it.
How you don't have every one of those performances burned in your brain is beyond me.
I'll tell you, the one I remember and will never forget was set to Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Oh,
and that's
wait,
that crazy acrobatic one. Yeah.
The one where the guy and the woman and they're on harnesses and they fly into the air and someone's pants come off. And it...
So if you're wondering if Closer by Nine Inch Nails is in the show, the answer is yes, it was.
Well, I look forward to hearing or seeing Toxic Pony perhaps integrated into the Magic Mike live show.
That's a great idea that they should be working on right now. The 94th Academy Award nominations were announced earlier today, Tuesday, February 8th, and The Power of the Dog and Dune took home the most nominations with 12 and 10, respectively. And the nominees for Best Picture are Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, Licorice Pizza, King Richard, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story. Hey, a musical in the mix.
I want to note, it's worth noting that a previous two-time nominee and winner for Best Original Song, Lady Gaga, a friend of the podcast, Lady Gaga, did not feature in the nominations this year, though many Oscarologists were predicting that the Billboard chart topper would score a nom for Best Actress for House of Gucci.
Yeah, I'm bummed about that. I'm bummed about that. But
I had a sneaking feeling that it wasn't going to happen. I had a sneaking
But Kristen
feeling.
Stewart is nominated for an Oscar now.
There you go.
Holy hell. So let's talk about the two categories that Billboard cares about the most, which, of course, are Best Original Song and Best Original Score. On last week's episode of The Pop Shop, we discussed the likely nominees for each category, and Billboard's awards editor, Paul Grine, helpfully shared his predictions with us for what he thought were the most likely nominees. So how did Billboard do in forecasting? Keith, tell us where we landed on Best Original Score.
All right. So the nominees are Don't Look Up, that's by Nicholas Britell, Dune, Hans Zimmer, Encanto, Jermaine Franco, Parallel Mothers by Alberto Iglesias, and The Power of the Dog by Johnny Greenwood.
Okay. So what is the disconnect here? What did we get right? What did Paul get
Paul,
right?
Let's blame Paul. It's all Paul's fault.
Let's give him credit.
So Paul thought the must for this category were The Power of the Dog, which he got right. Dune, he got right. Don't Look Up, he got right. The only must that he had, I believe, that was not a nominee was The French Dispatch of the Liberty, Kansas Evening Sun. But he said what will probably round out the field was Encanto, so he got that one. And then he had in the other strong scores bucket was Parallel Mothers. So clearly to him, Parallel Mothers is kind of like the surprise in this category.
Yeah, yeah. Which, so sorry to the French Dispatch, but pretty great job, Paul. Like 4 out of 5. Okay, so we should move on to the Best Original Song. I will read these nominees. We have Be Alive from King Richard, music and lyrics by Dixon and Beyonce. We have Dos Oruguitas from Encanto, music and lyrics by Lin-Manuel Miranda, friend of the podcast. Down to July from Belfast, music and lyrics by Van Morrison. No Time to Die from No Time to Die, music and lyrics by Billie Eilish and Phineas. Somehow You Do from Four Good Days, which Oh, man. There she is. Diane Warren. Diane Warren, music and lyrics by everybody.
Friend of the podcast, Diane Warren.
That's a star-studded category right there. Keith, talk to me about what Paul predicted and what came true.
All right. So Paul had in his musts, he got No Time to Die and Dos Oruguitas. I think those were the only two that he thought were musts.
Yeah, and they were.
In his probablys category, he had Be Alive, plus two other songs, Here I Am, Sing My Way Home from Respect. That was the J. Hudd and Carole King, Jamie Alexander Hartman song, and Guns Go Bang. And that was the Kid Cudi, James Samuel, Jay-Z song from The Harder They Fall. So we didn't have the Jay-Z versus Beyonce married couple nominated together scenario that some
Jay's
were
just going to have to be the plus one that night, it sounds like.
He'll be okay.
I think he'll be okay.
He did have in his category of, he categorized it as, that means these strong entries will be squeezed out, Down to Joy, the Van Morrison track. So he didn't think that that was a lock. And then he just had in his also shortlisted bucket the Diane Warren track, Somehow You Do. So clearly, Somehow You Do was the, how'd this, where, who, okay, great.
But have we all not learned to never count out Diane Warren? Also a past podcast guest. We've had a lot of these people on the podcast. That's fun. I mean, Lin-Manuel and Diane Warren.
And Phineas.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm like, wait a second. Did we have a lot?
We have.
Yeah, we have. Well, the Oscars are going to be airing March 27th. So, yes, next month. And then that's the week before the Grammys on April 3rd. So award season has officially taken a little shift this year, like many other things have in the era of COVID. So
If either of these two ever actually happen, sure.
No, it'll happen March 27th. We will. And we'll talk more about the Oscars leading up, and maybe we'll get Paul in the mix again to see his predictions for who will win in these two Billboard favorite categories. Well, now it's time to talk about the Super Bowl, which is this Sunday, February 13th. And we have not just one, not two, not three, not four, but five headliners for the halftime show. And what a lineup it is. We have Dr. Dre leading the way, which, I mean, it's Los Angeles, so this just makes all the sense in the world. Joined by, of course, Snoop Dogg. And then we have Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar. I honestly just can't. I like Maroon 5, by the way, but like, God bless, Maroon 5 had the show basically to themselves. Big Boy and Travis Scott showed up, but it's like Maroon 5 were the headliners, and now we have these five all together at once. Like, what did we do to deserve this?
It's like when this was announced, I'm like, okay, they can't possibly just give them only the standard 12 minutes for the halftime performance. It has to be more, because how in the world are you going to have these five? Arguably, all five of these people could headline the show on their own.
Oh, yes. They'd all fill the 12 minutes very easily.
Incredibly easy. So I'm like, yes. How in the world do you possibly squeeze them together? Anyway, we're going to get there in a second. But
yes. Yeah, as I mentioned,
nuts and bolts.
It's right here in L.A. The big game is going to be at SoFi Stadium for the first time, which is technically in Inglewood, right down the street from my house, everybody. It's just right there.
I hear Inglewood's always up to no good.
I've heard that, but I feel like they got SoFi Stadium. They're pretty fancy now.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're up to no good anymore. And while we are focused on the musical entertainment, there's, of course, also a football game that will be played, too, where the Los Angeles Rams will face off against the Cincinnati Bengals for the NFL championship. And the Rams are in it, too. It's an L.A. Super Bowl with an L.A. team that we didn't have until a few years ago, and a stadium we didn't have until last year. It's all scripted. It's a Hollywood movie. Right here in Los Angeles.
It's ridiculous how fortuitous it is that this stadium that didn't exist until last year, with a team that wasn't playing in Los Angeles until a few years ago, with a Super Bowl that just happens to be in the city at the stadium with this team.
Well, let me just say, on a personal note, Matthew Stafford, who is the quarterback of the Rams, came from the Detroit Lions. Just never had any luck there. He got them to like one playoff game and didn't even win that one playoff game. He's always been very good, but just never. He's just stuck in Detroit. Team is rough. So meanwhile, I've got a Detroit Lions quarterback playing at the Super Bowl where Eminem is headlining. I am very excited as a Michigan girl about all of that as well. Just that was a complete aside.
Yeah, by the way, it's the LA Rams versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Did we mention that?
Yes, I did say that. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's some sports happening, but really it's about the event that's sort of sandwiched between the sport ball.
When it comes to Billboard, yes, we are all about the halftime show. So we thought we'd kind of break this down into five burning questions, which we like to do that on Billboard as well, and look take a closer look at this halftime. So for our five burning questions about our five halftime performers and only 12 minutes in this show, how in the world are they going to squeeze in all the essential hits and moments of these legendary performers?
Okay, here's my answer. Medleys, medleys, medleys.
Yeah,
snippets,
I was gonna say that.
Snippets, snippets.
Here's the answer. They won't. They can't possibly.
They can't. Like, we're going to get, like, 30 seconds of a song, 40 seconds of a song, a lot of, like, segues into other songs, collaborations, maybe, like, you know, Mary comes in and sings the hook on someone else's song so that way she can be integrated into other tracks.
Totally, totally.
I don't know.
Anyone who's got a sung hook, Mary's coming in and taking care of that 100%.
Sure. We're here for it.
Yes. So on that note, question number two is, what songs are a must for each of these five artists?
I have so many thoughts about this.
Okay. Should we just start, like, the list in order of what we have here? Like, we've got Dr. Dre up top. Let's start with Dr. Dre.
Okay. I mean, you want to have a Super Bowl halftime show that is something that the entire world and all of America can, like, immediately know. They know these songs. They know these hits. It has to be super familiar things, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm thinking, because the big game is in California, it is in Los Angeles, it is in Inglewood.
Yeah.
I think you start with California Love, which immediately
start
hits.
With California Love.
Start with California Love, because the first words you hear are California Love.
Yeah.
And the first verse is Dre. Now let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West.
Boom,
welcome. Fireworks go off.
Mm-hmm. See, I definitely think California Love is also a must, which is interesting because that's technically a Tupac song, no longer with us, but Dr. Dre did the production and obviously has a verse on it.
It's Tupac featuring Dr. Dre, so yes. It counts.
It counts. But also, I was thinking that it finishes the halftime because it just...
Okay.
You know, so, but we're in agreement that it needs
to
be one of the bookends of the halftime show. And then also on the Dr. Dre front, the two other songs that come to mind, and there's lots of them, but the two others that come to mind are the two songs from The Chronic 2001, which are Forgot About Dre and Still D.R.E. Both of those, Dre right there in the title. Forgot About Dre is with Eminem. He does the chorus on that one. Still D.R.E. has Snoop in it. So it's like you have both of those elements in the
mix.
I
guess we just forget about Nothing But a G Thing, which has Snoop on it as well.
Well, of course there's that, but I figured we'd save that for the Snoop Dogg section.
Oh, okay, fine.
I'm still talking about Dr. Dre.
Okay, so we've got Dre. Let's do Snoop.
Snoop, yeah, and you said it. Nothing But a G Thing has to be there, right? Right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think so. I think the thing is, I think whatever Snoop does will most likely be songs that were with Dre.
Yeah.
Like, unless he...
There's the one exception to that rule, though.
Gin and Juice?
No. His one... Because I think Gin and Juice was produced by Dre, was it not?
I mean, it was produced, but I don't think he has a verse on it.
But, no, he doesn't. But in my mind...
Drop It Like It's Hot?
Yeah, but it's a Pharrell production, to your point, so it does not bring in Dr. Dre. But I feel like we mentioned a lot of the Snoop important moments, so Eminem is next up. And for me, like, again, this is going to be me talking about being from Michigan all the time, but, like, Lose Yourself is not only an incredible song, but it's also inspirational. It's used for sporting events all the time. It's, like, the perfect Super Bowl moment.
So, see, I thought that would, like, end the set list.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such, like, this triumphant finale moment.
But that's such a... It's an Eminem song,
it's,
though. And
it,
to me,
so
Dr.
Eminem
Dre
specific.
Is,
yeah,
like,
you want all
the,
of them together. Yeah.
Like, I know it's five co-headliners, but we all understand that, like, Dr. Dre put this crew together and he's kind of running the show, you know? I think.
Well, you have to do Lose Yourself somehow.
Yes.
I think at that point, you're like, all right, so do we do, like... I mean...
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Yeah, it's like, do you like do the real Slim Shady or just lose it?
Or, but I think or it my has name to be, is.
I think it's probably my name is, and or the real Slim Shady.
I like think that, it's the real Slim and lose Shady. Yourself. Probably
it's those two songs, like lose yeah. yourself and real Slim Shady.
Yeah. Just by the way, justice for Not Afraid, love Not Afraid, but it's like it's the little brother of Lose Yourself. So obviously Lose Yourself wins that battle of like triumphant Eminem jock jams.
So somehow they're going to work in Forgot About Dre and Lose Yourself and the real Slim Shady. So that means there's not enough room for Crack a Bottle, right?
Oh, there's definitely not any room. And 50 Cent's not showing up anyway. Actually, 50 Cent got really, he got kind of left out of this mix, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
Did just he get saying. Left out or just was he not invited? I don't know.
Fair. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that the same thing?
Mary. Let's move on to Mary.
Let's move on to Mary J. Blige. Family Affair.
Family Affair.
I mean, print it.
Family Affair. And I vote for Real Love.
Oh, I love that idea.
Like, you're not doing a ballad. You're doing you're doing something up tempo to keep people going. So I think you have to do Family Affair and Real Love. I think those are the two
musts.
I
also think that she is truly there as like the singer. She is the singer of the show. So I think she's going to show up a lot more than we might expect because we're going to be like, oh, right, there's a song part there. And not to get ahead of ourselves, but moving to Kendrick, you know, his one of his biggest hits is All the Stars with SZA.
Oh.
So again, there's a possible great Mary showcase, right?
Okay, so All the Stars and Humble? Is that
yes.
what
he's doing? Yes, it's a yeah. Humble all day. All
okay,
day.
Do we write all these down?
Yeah, I feel like I already feel more confident about these predictions than our Oscar predictions last week.
I mean, now, is it actually possible? Also, those Oscar predictions weren't ours. They were Paul's, so right. we're blaming him. I think there's a way to, you could probably get like maybe 8 songs in there if you're doing like maybe 40 seconds a piece or something.
Well, but and that's almost not fair because then each person isn't getting 2, but there's overlap. So to your point, if you do those 8 songs, but within those 8 songs, Dre and Snoop are both on one. Eminem and Dre are on one. Mary singing a hook for somebody else.
Maybe it's more like 7, and it's a Lose Yourself, Forgot About Dre, Family Affair, Humble, Drop It Like It's Hot. Oh, God, we're running out. How are they doing this?
Well, and so we said, so Drop It Like It's Hot and Humble and Lose Yourself and Family Affair. Those are solo moments entirely. There's no collaboration involved in those ones. Those are solo showcases for the people who performed those songs. So there's also that, whereas like there's not the collaborative spirit among
them.
Yeah,
remember this five way thing reminds me of when MTV was producing the halftime shows and it was Aerosmith,
NSYNC, Britney Spears,
Nelly and Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
All somehow smashed in together.
That was one year, and then there was another one that was like Kid Rock and a mess of other people. This immediately brought to mind those, and I loved those. Those were chaotic and amazing.
So chaotic, but I think the difference, yes, because who didn't live for like Mary, Steven Tyler, Britney, and Justin all like doing like a weird like dance at the end to Walk This Way.
Yeah,
I think this will be different though because these. Most of these individuals have kind of like established hits together in a working relationship together. So for all we know, all of them will be on stage together at the same time interacting.
This is a great move to our number 3 question, which is we just named so many hits that they have to squeeze into. But number 3 question is, are we expecting any new material?
And I kind of am.
Well, the main one I think people are expecting is Kendrick. Because it's been so long since we've gotten anything from him. And there's rumblings about Friday.
And
that's what Beyonce did the year that Bruno Mars headlined. She released Formation on a Friday and performed it on Super Bowl Sunday with Bruno. It was like that move that quick.
And Mary has a new album that's on the way. It's available for pre-order now.
There you go.
So does this mean there's like...
Wait, when is her album? Oh, it's just pre-order. We don't know the date yet?
No, we know the date.
Oh.
It's on iTunes. I'm sure you can find it.
So you think a possible new song from her on Friday, too, this could be really likely?
I don't know.
It would make sense.
I mean, generally speaking, when you have one artist and they're headlining the Super Bowl and they use it as a platform to launch something, you know, I mean, not all the time, but I remember when Madonna did the Super Bowl 10 years ago, she released a new single the Friday before the Super Bowl and performed it on the Super Bowl.
Was Give Me All Your Lovin' released that early or quickly before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was released on the Friday before.
That's crazy. So the answer is probably, and therefore more time has to give to any new material as well.
Do you think there's any possibility that somehow they give them an extra minute or something? Is there any way there's more time that can be allotted to them?
I don't think that's how things work. I literally think there's an exact science with the TV and with the game that cannot be messed with.
You literally have halftime. You have 30 minutes, right?
And it's it's not just about the actual time of halftime. And 30, it's not 30 minutes. That's longer than it is. But you have the set up your stage and get it out of there for the football game that's going on.
Yeah.
You got to get your production out of the way, too.
If ever anyone listening, go to YouTube and Google there's lots of videos of people that were at the Super Bowl taking videos of stages being built. It is a marvel how hundreds of people run in pushing pieces of stage to assemble them all together in 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you have this magically light up stage with a bunch of moving elevators and parts, and then they disassemble them all in a minute and a half and run them all off
before the football team
returns.
Question number four.
Fourth question.
Is there time for surprise guests, Keith?
I mean, in theory, sure. I mean, there have been surprise guests in the past when the Red Hot Chili Peppers show up for Bruno Mars and other surprise guests have materialized. Maybe there's room for a surprise guitarist.
Chili Peppers were not actually a surprise. They announced them ahead of time. I feel like there have been legitimate surprises, but I don't know what they were.
Katy Perry shows up and they do California. No.
Oh, and did I say Formation was with Bruno? Formation was the Coldplay year, right? It was when Coldplay were headlining and Bruno showed up to do Uptown Funk on Coldplay's show. And also Beyonce
was there, too. It was Coldplay's show, and Beyonce and Bruno were special guests.
Everybody, 10 minutes ago, I totally misspoke and said that it was Bruno's halftime, but it was Coldplay's halftime.
But yeah. I mean, could there be room for special guests? Sure.
Yeah.
And they get, 20 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe not.
There's Warren G. And then there he goes.
And question five.
Yes. We kind of hinted to this one.
Yeah. Could a holographic Tupac materialize as he's done in the past with Dre and Snoop at Coachella?
Yes. The answer is yes. Because especially if they're starting or ending with California Love, that's Tupac's song. So, and by the way, this hologram already exists. it exists. So they just have to pull it out of, the mothballs and dust it off and get it going again. But on top of that, it makes me think about when it was in Minneapolis and they did a tribute to Prince when Justin Timberlake was the performer. And there was rumblings about a hologram. People freaked out. And then it ended up just being a projection on a flowing purple, sheet or whatever. So but they paid that tribute. And so you've got California Love. You've got Tupac. Maybe there's some sort of tribute or wink to Tupac that isn't a hologram, potentially, too.
Yeah.
Right? A nod
maybe
to Tupac.
A nod.
Yeah. Like a video image or something. Because I know it's a Dre song, too. Dre is involved, but it's a Tupac song, first and foremost. And get out the auto-tune for Mary on that chorus.
Mary is playing the,
She's in the vocoder.
Vocoder. Lord. All right. Well, we'll see if any of this possibly pans out or comes true on Sunday.
We will see.
All right. Now it's time for the chart stat of the week.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're
This week in 1986, the Chicago Bears shuffling crew shuffled their way to number 41 on the Billboard Hot 100 with the funky novelty hip-hop? Sure. single, The Super Bowl Shuffle.
There is rapping in it. Yes.
Yeah, they're pretty much rapping. The song, which is a true pop culture moment, if ever there was one, was released in December of 1985, a few weeks before the Bears would go on to win the big game on January 26, 1986. Some of the lyrics, I believe the first line of the song is, "We are the Bears shuffling crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're so bad, we know we're good. Blowing your mind like you knew we would." Oh, sorry. Like we knew we would. And by the way, "We're not here to start no trouble," they say. "We're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle."
That's right. These are some elementary school talent show level lyrics.
Anyone watching this music video today be like, Lord,
what is happening?
Why did anyone greenlight this thing?
These are professional athletes. These are elite athletes doing this.
All clearly had some sort of like, I'm sure a lot of them, to be fair, this song was released as a charity single. And
okay, then we should stop mocking it.
Yes, well, I think it's fair to kind of
poke fun. It's such a good, it's such a time capsule. It's a beautiful time capsule. Wait,
we're like backing it up. It's a time capsule. It's such a, it's a scintillating moment. It's a portrait.
Nostalgic.
It's nostalgic. Well, the track would eventually peak at number 41 on the Billboard Hot 100, dated February 8th, 1986, and unbelievably get a Grammy Award nomination for Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group.
No, it didn't, Keith.
It absolutely did. I'm not good. It did not win.
Okay.
It lost to Prince and the Revolution's Kiss.
As it should have.
How in the world did this get nominated for
that
a Grammy?
That is so wild.
Well, despite what Billboard later described in 1987 as, quote, the deafening musical insignificance of the record, the single and its accompanying home video release eventually generated over $300,000 for the Chicago Community Trust, and money from the trust went on to help needy families in Chicago. After all, as the lyrics note, quote, "We're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy."
All right. It's all for a good cause, y'all.
All for a good cause. So there you have it. This week in 1986, the Super Bowl Shuffle reached number 41 on the Hot 100 chart. We are the Bears. Okay, we've reached the end of our big shuffling show. What is your favorite halftime performance, Katie?
Oh, wow. Man, oh, man. Prince was a pretty good... I mean, like, I don't know if you can touch the Prince halftime. I remember watching it live and being stunned when he started performing a Foo Fighters cover.
Oh, I know.
Best of You. And then finding out that Dave Grohl was just as stunned as you and me. He didn't know ahead of time. And he saw that live and was like, is Prince singing my goddamn song right now? And yes, Prince was.
Prince.
How insane is that?
Prince, apparently not a stickler for getting rights to perform a song live on TV from anyone. It's funny, Prince is kind of a stickler about his own music being covered.
They'll just forgive it once it's out there.
I will say, if we set aside Madonna,
just on a personal level.
On a personal level, because you know, people might think it's weird if I don't name her, but I'm like,
sure.
I will say that I think Lady Gaga probably has the best one. I mean, Prince is up there too. Madonna is, of course, amazing, but I think as a whole, I mean, I'm going to nitpick. There are problems, I think, that with Madonna's halftime show. Some of it doesn't age very well. Like, I don't, LMFAO, I don't know. But Lady Gaga, that whole thing, start to finish.
I mean, she caught that football. Like, let's just, I mean, that alone.
I mean, the fact that it's just the whole thing from start to finish is just nonstop.
Yeah.
Like, amazing.
And if anyone has not seen it yet, go watch the Prince like making of that Super Bowl halftime. There's like a great, I think it's an ESPN little short film about it. And it talks about how it literally started raining during Purple Rain while he was performing, as if like somebody, you know, scripted it. And yet it just, you know, it was the sky.
I mean, Prince often, you know, communicated with higher powers.
I have no doubt. Yeah, his third eye made it rain. That's what happened.
Okay, so what song should we go out on? Something from Prince, perhaps? I don't know.
Do you think can we go out on Prince doing The Best of You?
If I can find it, I will.
If we have the rights to play it?
Sure. Hopefully no one will, again, like we suggested last week, send us a takedown notice.
Yay!
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.